I would like to take a moment and mention a pressing issue we are seeing in our modern world. And that is tech use and tech light. The data are impressive and concerning on isolated wavelengths of light, especially shorter wavelengths, which is blue light. For those that don't know, we have chromophores, which are special proteins that absorbs specific wavelengths of light. For blue light, the light that is LED light and tech light, that protein is called melanopsin. Melanopsin is responsible for our circadian biology, physiology and cell functioning, hormone regulation, and even a connection to an area huge for mood. A consideration we should include is this protein was not even discovered until 1998. It seems important for us to understand how our biology uses the different wavelengths of light for various aspects of our biology. This blue light chromophore is our master controller, our master clock. Remember, circadian rhythm is a two-part process, two independent parts, light and dark. For a quick reference, see the 2017 Nobel Prize in Physiology and Medicine. But for now, I have something exciting. I want to introduce a product unlike any other product available. A highlight is the product from Daylight Computer Company created their product based on these factors. The Daylight Computer is completely blue light free. It has no flicker. Short wavelength flicker is extremely harmful for our eyes and downstream biology. Light flicker is constantly turning our central nervous system on and off. Essentially, it is like going to a light switch and repeatedly turning it on and off. The problem is, blue light and LED light does this, and it is so rapid, you cannot even perceive this in real time. The Daylight Computer is the lowest stimulation and foremost for sensory sensitive users. It is no question that the alternative product, especially when used at night, do not address or consider this in their product. It is so toxic to human biology. Big tech corporations have patents on how their short wavelength implicate the human nervous system. And a bonus, despite Daylight Computer not having backlight, it is very functional for outdoor use. And of course, increased sunlight is always preferred. I am happy to offer a discount for the Daylight Computer. You can use the code AUTISM for a $25 off coupon. Again, use the code AUTISM and the discount code for $25 off. See the link in the show notes to Daylight Computer Company, or just give it a quick search in your internet browser. Use the code AUTISM for $25 off. For today's episode, we will cover the leptin-melanocortin pathway, biophotons. We will expand on some common biology discussed in the podcast, like mitochondria and melanocytes and POMC. We will introduce new biology, such as nitric oxide and tetrahydrobiopterin, or BH4. We will cover these areas related to the fetal. We are going to stick to this timeline of developing the central nervous system through embryogenesis all the way up through birth. In maternal fetal, the leptin-melanocortin pathway regulates placental physiology and controls fertility and fecundity through leptin. The placental mitochondrial DNA emits ultra-weak biophotons that organize water's hydrogen bonds in maternal blood. This forms a liquid crystalline structure. Okay, that's a lot. But remember the cause of autism episode. And I want to really highlight two Patreons, Decentralized Medicine number 16 and Quantum Engineering number 45. These are great sources from someone that's foremost in quantum biology here. This is what we are discussing here. This organizes and delivers signals to the mother's brain, and this triggers pro-opioid melanocortin, POMC, production, whereby this increases melanin via the alpha melanocyte-stimulating hormone, the one that's more responsible for color. However, this is in the pathway of the ACTH and the CLIP hormone. So the alpha melanocyte-stimulating hormone is downstream from this. This is very telling here. So with the rising UV and the water content and melanin correlate with maternal brain shrinkage, a phenomenon potentially useful for predicting transgenerational risk through cerebral volume analysis. For the fetal brain development, or also called morphogenesis, this is a process during the first 5 to 6 months or so during pregnancy, while the brain remains immature at this point. However, around six months of pregnancy, the neural growth stops, an adaptation ensuring that the head will fit through the birth canal, while allowing the fetus to gain significant weight. This shift is driven by fetal mitochondria, and this emits a light spectrum that subtracts the UV and infrared. It emits blue light via melanopsin as a photo switch. This is crucial for the developing womb, the child. This process fattens the child. A lack of endocannabinoid signaling will then turn off UV light around 380 nanometer, which is at the tail end of UVA. So this is right where the visual spectrum begins. And the infrared, 1280 nanometer. This photo switch inhibits POMC translation and reduces melanin. The consequence here is the brain development stalls. However, fat accumulates. If you think about leptin, you know that society can easily attach weight and insulin to the leptin. This will bring mTOR, mammalian target of rapamycin, into the equation, and mitochondrial hydrogen-deuterium balance. Deuterium is a new word for us. I'm not going into detail about that. The hydrogen with the mitochondria is very common. It's a very well-established region of interest here with the hydrogen gradients, pumping hydrogen out of the matrix up into the intermitochondrial membrane. In addition, the thalamus, that sensory integration center, the sensory processing relay center, modulates this via deuterium levels. This affects seasonal timing and the neurogenesis. A factor to consider is this. The fetal thalamus disrupts this antenna-like system, this UV light absorption, and this halts the brain growth in the third trimester, thus promoting fat storage instead for the postnatal brain maturation. UV light at that 380 nanometer light postnatally drives the cognitive development, and this upregulates synaptic proteins and nitric oxide. NO, a retrograde neurotransmitter enhancing blood flow and dendritic spine growth. Huge in autism research. The NO produced placentally with this tetrahydrobiopterin, that BH4. This will inhibit the fetal ATP production. Remember the oxygenation and the electron transport chain. The fifth cytochrome is ATP, which uses that hydrogen gradient that we just discussed. ATP, this slows down the neurogenesis. And this is a natural design. This is on purpose. Now, what's interesting here is BH4 is a cofactor, and it's huge for the aromatic amino acids, often discussed on the podcast. Tryptophan, tyrosine, and phenylalanine, and sometimes histidine. But the tryptophan and tyrosine are vast here. Tryptophan is so huge in the fetal development. The BH4 helps convert the dopamine, serotonin, and nitric oxide and such while regulating cellular redox, a huge problem with autism. These deficiencies with the BH4 could be involved with intellectual disability, movement problems, seizures, and swallowing. Yes, with swallowing. All of these features are common for the autistic phenotype. Some environmental factors here, like the BPA and fluoride, increase the issues because of the deuterium absorption and the stealing of the UV electrons. Remember what light is. Electromagnetic fields. And this can impair the semiconduction and the brain growth. We've often talked about semiconductors and how autism is a loss of or a lack of biological energy. This is all tied here. This is what the main problem is with autism. The environment of the mother has changed. So the fetal, this embryogenesis through birth, this living organism that's trying to develop, is not developing. It's a loss of biological energy. How is this so complicated? And here I'm going to tie some more common autistic phenotype problems here. This is so easy to understand here. This BH4 deficits causes methylation defects and endocrine dysfunctions. Sounds like autism. In addition, there's a connection with gestational diabetes. And with this deficits of the BH4 and these semiconductors that we're talking about here, with the leptin, melanocortin pathway even, this is an easy route for the gestational diabetes. And with gestational diabetes, it's a known, it's an undisputed risk factor for increasing the risk of autism. In addition, the vitamin D and risk of autism. This is all tied here. This is so missed. I don't understand why this is overlooked, why this isn't connected here. The vitamin D and the NO production is crucial. It's necessary for proper placental development and the fetal development. This is why the rates of autism have increased with the amount of artificial light, with that the amount of being exposed to this indoor environment and the types of the artificial light. This is so easy if you consider these biological processes and just connect all of these dots that research has outlined for us, but nobody makes these connections. I would like to mention chroma, lights designed for humans. Chroma, a Seattle-based innovator founded by ex-NASA and Air Force engineer Michael Shapiro, is on a mission to enhance physical and mental health with purpose-built devices. Unlocking peak human health, cognitive function, and performance. Shapiro launched Chroma to restore the natural light lost to screens in indoor living and delivers faster recovery, sharper minds, and better sleep. Their products hit hard. The Iron Forge speeds muscle repair with red and near-infrared light, while the Skylight mimics sunlight to boost sleep and energy. A standout, the Forge Lamp, is a portable gem that fires 660 nanometer and 850 nanometer light to energize mitochondria and heal tissues on the go. Remember the four red light chromophores on cytochrome C oxidase, frequently talked about in the podcast. This is why. Their products are built with military grade durability that have lasting impact. Chroma's tech fuses precision and power. Gallium titride power supplies, smaller, cooler, and stronger than silicone, provide flicker-free light that's easy on the eyes. High-powered LEDs target key wavelengths for skin, tissue, and cellular health with smart heat management for the lasting impact. Every design decision Chroma makes serves a purpose: to create devices that are precise, durable, and effective for improving human life. Remember, humans use different wavelengths of light for different functions of life. Remember when I ask, what do you think light is? Chroma designs with our biology in mind, from sleep aids and wound healing to mitochondrial energy, full body lights, and blue light blocking glasses. They are US made, and Chroma ships globally and accepts FSA and HSA payments. Use autism at checkout for a 10% off discount. That's autism at checkout for a 10% off discount. So let's look at the leptin melanocortin pathway specifically. So leptin is a hormone, and it's primarily produced in adipose tissue. Now, over the last several years, melanin and melanopsin is found in leptin. And this is that pathway we're talking about here, the leptin melanocortin pathway. This is all new in scientific literature. This signals satiety and energy status to the brain, particularly the hypothalamus. And this interacts with that melanocortin system of POMC. And it's a peptide that derived from the POMC for bioactive properties, such as the alpha-melanocyte-stimulating hormone. This activates and regulates the biological energy and signals for appetite and metabolism. In this context of during pregnancy, this pathway extends its influence for the placenta and fetal development, the womb. Remember the episode with Dr. Hannah Stevens talking about the role of the placenta from the mother and the womb. So placental physiology. This placenta is a transient organ, and it connects the mother to the fetus. A huge region of interest here is the leptin melanocortin pathway that modulates its function. A huge role here is it controls fecundity and the fertility of the placenta by adapting to the maternal energy availability. Now, just a few minutes ago, I talked about the lack of energy. This is the biology that links this and connects this to this energy story. During pregnancy, the leptin levels rise, and it reflects an increased fat stores and placental production. And this, obviously, the main role here is to support nutrient transfer of the fetus, the developing living organism. Placental mitochondrial DNA, which remember is from the mother, remember it emits ultra-weak biophotons. Something we haven't discussed yet is the biophotons. And this potentially amplifies these effects on that POMC production with the leptin melanocortin pathway and the POMC cleaving of the alpha melanocyte stimulating hormone, which will boost melanin synthesis. Remember, melanin is a semiconductor and it absorbs all frequencies of light. And its roles, remember its roles as an antioxidant, as a protecting the cell and the living organism from insults, environmental toxins, and so forth, which is very common in today's research about autism. However, what is missed is, what does biology, what does Mother Nature and evolution give us to protect us from these so-called insults? Another huge region of interest for us ought to be melanin and that UV light exposure. This is huge for the maternal physiology, which will include the brain volume. This is huge. The brain volume with the autistic phenotype at young ages, even in the womb, the oversized brain. So the leptin melanocortin pathway and its influence on fetal development. This indirectly shapes the development by regulating placental efficiency and that maternal to fetal communication. This is what connects the mother to the living organism developing in her stomach. So some main roles here, energy allocation. Remember, one of the main goals of the brain is allocating and conserving energy. Leptin signals energy sufficiency. This is our energy accountant. This is what the brain uses to kind of get an inventory of the living organism's energy state. POMC and alpha melanocyte stimulating hormone. So that maternal hypothalamus, remember the endocrine disruptions, and identifying risk factors via that hypothalamus. For instance, the hypothyroid. The leptin here upregulates POMC and increases the alpha melanocyte stimulating hormone. And this suppresses appetite to conserve energy for pregnancy while enhancing the melanin production. Fetal fat storage. This pathway suppression in late gestation shifts the energy from the brain growth to the subcutaneous fat. This is why babies are getting fat, and we want that increased weight and a certain milestone on the weight. This is why humans are chunky. They're kind of abnormal compared to other species, especially in the primates. Light integration. So with those biophotons, this suggests a novel mechanism here. But leptin may amplify mitochondrial light signals, and this influences the melanocortin pathways and that water production from the mitochondria. Remember, cytochrome C oxidase. So what are biophotons? We need to talk about some biophotons here. They are low-intensity light particles emitted by living cells. This is huge in the gastrointestinal story as well. So with the mitochondrial activity, they play a significant role in cellular communication and the regulation during the development. Biophotons are similar to any light. They're electromagnetic waves. They're only in the UV light wavelengths, and the visual light spectrum, so roughly 200 to 800 nanometer light. And they are emitted by the biological systems without any external stimulation. So as your physiology and cells are functioning, it's going to release these biophotons in the mitochondria. This is a huge biomarker here that is hard to test. It's nearly impossible to test. But when your mitochondria are functioning and cells are functioning, these biophotons are driving the living organism, developing and giving the living organism energy. It's a direct connection here. We've covered the mitochondria in the solo episode and the episode with Dr. Richard Fry. We talked about reactive oxygen species and these excited biomolecules running through that TCA cycle, like NADH or the flavins. So we're talking about kind of providing nutrients to cytochrome 1, 2, and 3 here. And these release energy as photons. This is huge for the connection from the mother via the placenta down to the developing living organism. This has major implications to placental efficiency and maturation and development. In addition, we've talked about timing before, clock timing. These biophotons are huge for thalamic timing, that sensory and timing hub, that biophotons will help modulate. Because if you think about cellular efficiency and these things, all of these cells, tissues, and organs being clocked, timed, the more they are in sync with one another, the more that they are operating efficiently, the more biophotons we will have, the more energy and development that matches normal development will occur. So some underrated roles here with the biophotons, and that stem from the cytochrome C oxidase, the placenta and fetus. This will tie to the reactive oxygen species production, which is a normal feature of pregnancy. In the coherence, these wave-like natures suggest that biophotons could synchronize cellular processes across distances. A lot to do with the telepathy tapes. These quantum coherence here kind of helps signal these with that disruption of the speech and communication that's seen with the children of the telepathy tapes. This energy is kind of disrupted here and used in abnormal ways. The water interaction is huge here. And remember the Dr. Hannah Stevens episode as well. Returning to that episode, whenever I asked her about NFKB, this is involved in this timeline here. This is why I asked. And she's a perfect example to ask. She's a perfect source to ask because of her role with the placenta and womb. So mitochondrial DNA for the fetal development and that light spectrum dynamics. I want to briefly talk about mitochondria to the nucleus. So this is a retrograde signaling. And this sends, the mitochondria will send signals to the nucleus to adjust gene expression based off of that energy status or the stress or the environmental cues. Remember, mitochondria are environmental signals here. Now, I always want to return to the environment of the pregnant mother in modern life and how that's changed. And a result of that change is autism. So that's a retrograde signaling. And then there's a nucleus to mitochondria signaling, anteriograde signaling. And this is when the nucleus regulates mitochondrial biogenesis and the function via certain transcription factors. So a couple of highlights here is mitochondrial heteroplasmy and variations in the mitochondrial DNA copies, which is heteroplasmy, can amplify or dampen the signaling here of the environment to mitochondria of the environment. And a higher heteroplasmy from these maternal stressors or toxins or the environment of the mother may disrupt biophoton coherence, and this impairs development and increases risk of disease. Calcium and other metabolites. So the mitochondrial DNA actively influences calcium release and metabolites like the acetyl coenzyme A. Remember with the glycolysis and the pyruvate, we are essentially attempting to make this acetyl coenzyme A, which is used in the TCA cycle. And then during the development with that thalamus, this thalamus as being a sensory integrative system, this sensory relay system. And if you think about in the fetus, the thalamus is constantly evaluating its environment. So what does that look like for the fetus and the thalamus? The fetal thalamus it's very dense with mitochondria, and it uses these mitochondrial DNA signals to regulate the neurogenesis, the timing of the neurogenesis, and then the stopping of the neurogenesis. This is huge in autism research. This isn't that complicated. This is a problem with the autistic phenotype. So one of the risk factors here, one of the changes, is environmental light. And in the placenta, this leptin-melanocortin pathway here. So any deficits of light or environmental signals are driving factors for these neurodevelopmental problems or these metabolic problems, often seen now with children. We have an obesity crisis. Remember the cause of autism episode where we connect these obesity problems and the various diabetes and neurodevelopmental problems and aging. We haven't even talked about the rapid decrease in aging now. This is all tied to this story here. But the biophotons and the emergence of research on the mitochondrial signaling connect many problems with the autistic phenotype, especially discovered in this time frame that we're talking about. But the leptin that's being produced by the placenta and that maternal adipose tissue, this supports the neurodevelopmental by promoting synaptogenesis and that neural migration. The synaptogenesis and migration here are implicated. This will introduce the circadian abnormalities with the autistic phenotype and the sensory processing. So the POMC and melanin deficits here with the autistic phenotype. So reduced melanin and the endocannabinoid signaling with the autism, this could disrupt those independent two phases of the circadian biology, light cycles and dark cycles. Remember the environment of the mother now, where we can extend the day and have exposure to artificial light even during the night. Some even work shift work, they work through the night. And what that looks like for the developing fetus during these time frames, they're completely abnormal. They're 180 degrees off. Melanin's role here with the separation and the neural semiconduction. That's what melanin's role is. This being inefficient, this being abnormal, off, the clock timing, so forth, leads to that inefficient energy flow and that abnormal development. This contributes to the hyperexcitability and the hyperconnectivity of these brain networks, either local or distal brain connectivities. Remember the dorsal striatum being heavily densed and the medial prefrontal cortex is heavily densed. But the pathways throughout the brain are kind of abnormal. There are poor connectivities. Remember the Wernicke to Broca. Very bad connectivity there. That's why there's so many abnormal connections through the brain, especially at the early ages. Remember the study at UCLA about the salience network on 6 weeks old? They found abnormal salience network connectivity. Salience network here is involved with modulating our attention. What does the living organism consider salient, important at that time. And with the autistic phenotype, it is easy to see that we bias towards our inside. We neglect the environment. We're not influenced by the environment. We do not care for the environment. The outside world is mostly chaotic and uninteresting. Lastly, with the leptomelanocortin pathway and the autism, the fat brain imbalance. So this is late gestational shift from brain fat and brain growth, driven by the mitochondrial light dynamics of these biophotons. And this imbalance might be skewed towards excessive fat storage without that proper postnatal UV activation. Children are post-birth, they are under these harmful wavelengths of light that are not suitable for proper development. And we can see this outside of autism. We can see this with the disruptive behaviors in younger and younger children now. It is easy to connect that data. This is kind of independent of autism, but it's very salient and a very big concern. If you go to your school, local elementary school, just ask teachers, school staff, or ask parents about the behaviors of younger and younger children now being so dysregulated. This is a huge concern. This is why the connection with Daylight Computer Company is very important to me and very exciting. This is the way forward. People need to know about these chromophores and what they do to our physiology and our mood and our biological energy. This is not that complicated. Our environments with these isolated wavelengths of light are huge for how we act and who we are. So some environmental triggers of autism with that light deficiency. So the maternal solar deficiency is huge, and there's a direct correlation with that vitamin D. You can see this. If you go towards the equator, the risk of autism is drastically shifted. It's drastically reduced. If you are listening to the podcast, listening to the episode, please feel free to leave a review or rating. In podcasting, reviews, ratings, and downloads are huge, and I very much appreciate your feedback. You can contact me on X at RPS47586, and we can have many discussions about autism. I'm always happy to discuss autism. You can check out the Hop link for links to all of the podcasts across many different platforms. You can check out the YouTube channel for full-length videos and shorts and clips. You can email me, info.fromthespectrum@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to From the Spectrum Podcast.